You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Brett Ronford makes it a home victory at the inaugural ISPS Handa World Super 6 Perth.
Epic week. Generally, to win a 72-hole golf championship, it generally comes down to six holes. But what was so bizarre and unique about this week was the six holes was played four times over. I just feel completely drained. I feel as though every match was the tournament.
Behind Ronford was a player with a big future, the youngest man in the field, 17-year-old Pachara Kongwat Mai from Thailand.
Got second place, I just really happy. I play very good, yeah. I like this court and I like to play match play again, yeah.
We've a full review of all of the action from Perth to come. Plus, we'll look ahead to the next event on the Race to Dubai, the Joburg Open. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say I'm joined this week by John Hawksworth. John, how are you?
Very good for my age. How are you, Dan?
Yes, you're looking well for your age, John, but you always do, I think.
Yes, true.
Now then, ISPS Handa World Super 6. Yeah. Before we talk about Brett Ronford and how things panned out for the Aussie, let's just remind everybody of this new Super 6 format. 156 players started three rounds of stroke play. Standard cut left 65 and ties after 36 holes. Then another cut after 54 holes to 24 pros for the final day. Match play, Sunday Super 6, five rounds of six-hole match play battles. The top eight after 54 holes got a bye into the second rounds. There were six holes used, plus we had a knockout hole as well. That was the purpose-built 93-yard par 3 using the 18th green to decide any ties. First and foremost, John, what did you make of this? Something different on the European Tour.
Well, it was very different, yeah. Something I've not seen before, mixing stroke play with match play. And I read quite a few tweets from players. They thoroughly enjoyed the format. Brett Ronford led after 54 holes, but that wasn't the tournament over. So it kind of was a bit strange. You could have had a winner that came out of the top 24 that hadn't really played that great in the first 54 holes and would go on to win the match play. But Ronford managed to lead the stroke play, and then, of course, we know he won the match play.
He did indeed. What I liked about it was the fact that we got an awful lot of excitement on the Saturday because we got the playoff on the Saturday, we got players eliminated, yeah. We got something for the fans to get excited about, and obviously, usually, on a Saturday, late on, we don't.
Yeah, there were, I think there was about eight players involved in playing off for four places, and the first time round, they played in two four-balls, three went through. I think it was Jordan Smith who was one of the others that eventually lost out.
That's
and
right.
Then four of them went back playing for one spot. So it was exciting because not only had you had the 54 holes, then you had to have a playoff to get the 24 players. 20 were through and they were looking for four others out, the other eight that played off. So the golf went on and on. Very well run on a great golf course like Carinup. And of course, Brett Ronford, who is from Perth, who had lost his card even though he'd won five times on the European Tour before. So it was a great story. It was a bit like the Graham Storm story, slightly different because Graham thought he'd lost his card through being out of count on the money list until Patrick Reed didn't play all his allotted events for his money to count. But nevertheless, Ronford, five wins on tour, that's a good career, and now he's made it six, and of course he's fully exempt again.
Yeah, going into the match play situation on the Sunday, of course, Ronford had a bye in the first round.
Yeah.
He overcame Hideto Tanihari, Wade Ormsby, Adam Bland on the way to the final, where he took on Pachara Kongwat Mai. Do you think the fact that he had a first round bye helped at all? Obviously, the top eight after 54 holes, I guess it means that you don't have to play another six holes, so it's just something slightly in your favour, which is what you need if you finish in the top eight after 54.
If you're going to get a bit of a leg up into the second round, which he did, it's got to help, and he used it to his advantage.
As for Kongwat Mai, he needed three trips up the last on Saturday to secure the 24th and final spot in the Super 6. He defeated four Aussies, Sam Brazel, Lucas Herbert, Matthew Miller and Jason Scrivener, to get to the final. When it came to the final, it was Ronford that got off to a really good start. He put his approach to the first to 3 feet. And if you've led all the way over 54 holes and you've got to the final, it's exactly what you need. Did you see players over the course of the match play more aggressively or play slightly differently to what they would do with, in terms of, as opposed to regular stroke play?
Well, you can do with match play because you only lose one hole, don't you? If you take eight, it doesn't make any difference. So you're going to be a little bit more aggressive. It's good with his short irons, Brett Ronford. But that Kongwat Mai, he won his first pro event, you know, at 14. You probably still had your stabilisers on your bike then.
I did.
And hadn't
just
got all your badges. Yes, I've seen you ride. But amazing achievement. I think he's won 5 times as a professional now, and he's 17 years of age. He's the new breed. There's plenty coming out of Asia. And what an experience at 17 to finish runner-up.
Indeed, runner-up to Romford, who we mentioned was up on the first, but then Kong Wat Mai fought back on the second. Romford was a little wayward off the tee. However, you felt that the third hole, although he sprayed it a little left, he did remarkably well to win the hole, and that set up victory for him.
Well, he's good at shaping the ball, and of course he's very experienced, and he's known as a mustard short game. I mean, I watched him play several shots through the week, little pitches off tight lies to tight flags, bunker shots, shaping the ball. He's got all the game, and hopefully now this is going to give him super confidence, which it must do after a win, to go on and probably have a great season.
Yeah, he wrapped up the victory by hitting it to 2 feet on the fifth, piling the pressure on Kong Wat Mai, who bunkered his tee shot and failed to get out with his second. The final was over, and Romford scored a 2-1 success. And I'm pleased to say we can hear Brett's thoughts on the week because he joins us now. Brett, first and foremost, congratulations. Well played on what must have been a draining week.
It was, Dan. It was a relief to finally finish, I can tell you that. It was a long down Sunday. Started at 7, didn't finish until 5:30, and it was just a grueling day.
How difficult is it to switch from stroke play to match play in the middle of a tournament? It's a hybrid event. It must have been difficult for your mindset. Do you have to play differently? Yeah. Is your course management different?
Stroke play is all about the last 6 holes, pretty much. Everyone talks about the back 9, but if you make a mistake on the 10th hole, you've still got time to recover. But 6 holes, just keeping it, it's just cutting a little bit fine. So you really got to sharpen up and you really got to be on your game those last 6 holes, in particular with a stroke play event, when you're trying to shut out an event. And generally that becomes head-to-head a lot of the times between 2 guys trying to close out a tournament. So in the stroke play, there was a lot of people around that. I mean, there were 7 or 8 of us actually at one point that was vying for that number one spot. And as competitors, as golfers, I mean, you want to finish number one with whatever format you're playing. So I pushed hard to try and to qualify number one. I'm sure there's a lot of people in the same boat. Although it was irrelevant, it was probably just more of a mental cue and a one-upmanship, I guess, going into the match play rounds. You've got that confidence leading in. But as the match has progressed, it's a bit like taking those last 6 holes in a stroke play event and then just replicating it 4 times over. Fortunately enough, I finished inside the top 8. But for other guys, I had to do it for 5 times. Obviously, the young guy that I played in the final, that was his 5th match. So he was 17 years of age and obviously played those last 6 holes as if they were his first. I mean, he had a lot of stamina and he's walking around laughing. I mean, I was almost falling asleep out there. So it was different to a normal golf tournament, I can tell you that. It was very unique. And, yeah, I think it had this real buzz about it towards the end of as it started to lead into the quarters and semis. People were getting the idea. They were seeing the potential matchups, the clashes, and how people were playing. And, yeah, the whole thing was unfolding. And then there was playoffs for third, fourth, fifth, right the way down. So, yeah, look, there's a lot of stuff going on. And it was just, a real pressure-packed day of golf and just trying to get the job done. And very, very unique as well. So, yeah, it was just a crazy day, crazy format, but I think one that was a huge success, I think.
Absolutely. I think the fans really enjoyed it, as you pointed out. And you talked about the final there against Pechara Kong Wat Mai. I thought, looking and watching on television, that maybe your experience just told a little bit because you were able to recover from some poor swings, as you mentioned, and maybe Pechara wasn't. Yeah. He's only 17. He's a big prospect, though, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He's got an incredible attitude as well. And as I said, he was bouncing around all over the fairways at 5:30 in the afternoon. It was a long day for all of us, where we all started around about 7 o'clock in the morning. So he's been on the radar for a while now. And yeah, he's going to mature into one hell of a player.
You're a 6-time European Tour winner now. I know you had to go back to tour school last year. You didn't manage to get your card, but the doors have opened up for you once again. What happens next, Brett? What do you do now? What does the future hold?
So this year is all about just scheduling, getting the right schedule and I won't be using Europe as a base anymore. I'll be flying from Australia. I'll be coming back here for all my time off. So I'll pick and choose my runs in Europe, come over for a 4-week run maximum, and then maybe come home for 2 weeks here and there. So there'll be a lot more flying, but at least there'll be a lot more balance to my year as well. So having the opportunity now to pick and choose my events, I think that's the biggest positive in getting my tour card back. I've now got the option to pick and choose those events for the next couple of years and really focus on going back home and take it back into Europe.
Well, we always enjoy it when you play over here, so we'll look forward to that. Have a great rest of the week, and indeed, we look forward to hopefully seeing you back in the winner's enclosure again in 2017. Brett, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
We've really enjoyed watching Brett Rumford play over the years. I'm really pleased that he's back in the winner's enclosure here, and he massively deserves it. I mean, you lead after every single day. You get through all the match play as well, but he sounded drained as well. But you've got to give him massive credit because it's something different. The nerves could have been jangling. We saw him spray a little bit left on a couple of occasions in the match play, but he still got the job done.
Yeah, he did it. And I bet he was relieved when he saw Louis Oosthuizen go out, which he did, obviously, because he'd be the star there as a former major winner and a great, great player, but just wasn't able to go all the way. That would have been a great final. But it's hard to play stroke play and then switch to match play because you've got to play one discipline and then do I change it? Do I do something different? Well, I've been playing well. Shall I just carry on as I am? So there's a lot to deal with, but you win five times. He knows how to get over the line, and I think experience will have helped.
A sixth European Tour victory, in fact, and his first for 3 years and 290 days. He lives in Perth, and it's his first European Tour victory on home fairways. Moves to 11th in the Race to Dubai standings, up to 133rd in the official world golf ranking from 274th. Let's hear from the runner-up, Thailand's Bechara Kongwat Mai.
Yeah, feeling really good because yesterday I think I out in final round already, but now got second place, I just really happy. I play really good, yeah. I like this court and I like to play match play again, yeah.
17-year-old Kongwat Mai showed plenty of grit, needed three trips up the 18th on Saturday to secure the final Super 6 spot and then defeated four Aussies on their home turf to get to the final. Youngest man in the Super 6 would have been the second youngest winner in European Tour history. Massive future, obviously. You mentioned before, John, the fact that he's won professional events. He's yet another stellar talent coming out of that part of the world.
Well, the last 17-year-old I can remember winning was Matteo Manassero. To win on the European Tour at 17 is absolutely unbelievable. He's hit the crossbar. He's runner-up spot, but keep your eye on him. Of course, he's doing well on the Asian Tour Order of Merit as well. Won on the development tour last year, I think it was a couple of times. So he's progressing nicely. But these lads nowadays, they're younger, fitter, stronger, more supple. Nothing of the above of you.
Maybe they take care of their body a little bit better, John.
Well,
than previous generations of professionals.
Like yourself, yeah. They do, yeah. I mean, it's more of a science now, the sport, than just hitting golf balls. You know, there's all sorts of things, diet, fitness, stretching, technique, mental side of it. So he's obviously got it all right, but there are a lot of lads coming from Asia now. Asian ladies golf is stronger than Asian men's golf, but he's catching up.
Time for a little more reaction next. Adam Bland, who lost to Brett Rumford in the semis but beat Jason Scrivener in the third, fourth place playoff, and Bland was full of praise for the new event.
The format actually kind of helped me out, I guess, because for me to come from where I was to third would have been a great round if it was stroke play. So yeah, the tournament was awesome. Just a different feel, and added something on Saturday, and it seems like everyone's enjoyed it. So, and hopefully, I think yesterday, you know, kind of gives golf a little bit more than what it normally is on a Saturday. And today with the playoff hole, it was really good. So I think that it's kind of, you know, I guess T20 and cricket a little bit, but golf does need a little bit jazzing up.
And we can hear from Jason Scrivener, who finished fourth after going down to Kongwat Mai in the semis, and then Bland, as we know, in the third, fourth playoff match.
You know, it was a really exciting day. Had a lot of fun. I thought it was great. You know, obviously with six-hole match play, you're really going to be on from the first hole, and you know, you're going to have ups and downs. And unfortunately, I had a couple of losses there. But in my second match today, I thought I was out and managed to get to that playoff hole and made a couple of birdies, which was really fun to play in front of friends and family as well. It's always nice. But it's good to see everyone from Perth going behind it.
Lots of goodwill from the players when it comes to the format. I guess we got the right winner in Rumford because he led all the way through. But some would say, well, should you really win a tournament if you finish 24th after 54 holes? I don't know. I mean, generally, it seems to be well received.
Well, it's two tournaments within a tournament, isn't it? You know, you're qualifying to get to the match play. It doesn't mean just because you win the stroke play, you've got to win the match play. Yeah, somebody could have pinched it. And would other people have felt hard done to? No, because at the end of the day, it finished with match play, and that's what it was all about.
Former Open champion Louis Oosthuizen lost in the quarterfinals, but then battled through two further matches to claim his place in the top five.
Disappointed in my match I lost to Blandy, but you know, I played nicely this week, so fifth is a good spot. I think they got a good concept. I think a few tweaks here and there would make it really good. But yeah, it's nerve-wracking standing on that little 66-meter hole, and every time I was there, I was second off, and my playing partner would hit it stiff. So it's nice pressure and then good fun.
I think it's important as well, as Louis has intimated there, that you get the third, fourth player, if you get the fifth, sixth as well. It's more for the fans to watch, and the fans were brilliant in Perth.
Yeah, well, they love the golf down there. Have you seen the size of the kangaroos in Perth?
I haven't, not recently.
Oh, I tell you what.
Are the outsized kangaroos?
I had a nasty skirmish with one.
Oh, really?
One year. We'll not go into that now.
Okay.
But no, the fans in Perth, they love their golf. And obviously, getting a winner from Perth, it couldn't have been better. Great for the sponsor. It's a new format that I think is going to grow within golf. And, you know, Brett Rumford started it off. And let's see what happens if it rears its head again.
Top 10, John.
Right, well, we know Brett Rumford won in the final from Kong Watmai. Third was Adam Bland. Fourth, Jason Shrivener. Fifth, Louis Oosthuizen. Sixth, Stephen Jeffers. Seventh, Matt Miller, the veteran, really. Eighth, Wade Ormsby. Ninth, Adam Blythe. Tenth, Austin Connolly. And it actually goes down to 11th, which was Lucas Herbert.
Not a European or American in the top 10.
No.
Which makes me want to have my selection from last week again, because I went for an American in Peter Uihlein, who was tied 55th, who went out at the second stage, if you like. Boxy, Richard Boxall, who was sat in your seat last week, went for Alex Norén, who didn't even make the Saturday.
Well, you can't do it every week, can you?
In the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, Gustav Bjørnstam now leads the overall standings, but Didier Cruza's team, Les Golfeurs du Dimanche, had the best week, with Rumford as captain and three other top eight players in his lineup. In our very own league, the Sean Ryder Cup, listener Anthony Perrin got the most points this week, but Paul Eales still leads the way. If you think you can do better, why don't you join us? Go to the fantasy game at europeantour.com/myeuropeantour and under the private league tab, enter the PIN, capital F, lowercase c, 2, lowercase s, capital C, capital Y, 2, lowercase j, capital B, 1. Keep an eye on europeantour.com this week for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the Joburg Open. John, we need the top 10 in the race to Dubai.
Well, it's still early in the season, so let's go from 10th backwards. 10th, Pablo Larrazábal. 9th, Bernd Wiesberger. 8th, Henrik Stenson. 7th, Rafa Cabrera-Bello. 6th, Sam Brazel. 5th, Sergio Garcia. 4th, David Lipsky, who's just finished 2nd in the Maybank recently. And then 3rd is Junhyun Wang. 2nd is Fabrizio Zanotti, who won down at the Maybank, and the leader, who won in Abu Dhabi, is Tommy Fleetwood.
In other news, the golfing world paid tribute to caddy Dave Musgrove, whose death was announced last week. The Englishman, who alongside Dave Rennick is the only British bagman to help three different players win major championships. For 4 years, Musgrove was caddy for Seve Ballesteros, including during the Spaniard's first Open Championship triumph at Royal Lytham in 1979. He then spent 9 years with Sandy Lyle, winning the Open in 1985 and the Masters in 1988. And Musgrove was on Lee Jansen's bag as the American won the US Open in 1998. Lyle tweeted this about his close friend. Muzzy, RIP, we wrote history together at the Open, the Masters and the Players' Championship. We'll miss your humour and your stories. Hashtag gentlemen. You can read further tributes at europeantour.com. John, this is obviously someone you knew on the fairways.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Dave Musgrove, I always used to look at him. I remember seeing him, obviously, with Sandy Lyle. You mentioned that he spent 9 years with him and with Seve. I was actually there in 79 when he won at Lytham. Where have the years gone? But he had some great bags and did a lot of players a lot of good throughout the career. You know, he was one of those really, really good caddies. But I suppose he's most famous for the Lyle episode, you know, when he hit that 7-iron at Augusta up 18 and then, of course, won the Open Championship at Sandwich. But he was a great caddy all around and very well respected, yeah, and it's a great shame.
Elsewhere, the European Tour and the ISPS Handa PGA Tour of Australia have announced a strategic alliance looking to create further new opportunities in the Australasia region for membership of both tours. The European Tour already has a similar alliance with the Asian Tour. Meanwhile, former chief executive George O'Grady has become a European Tour ambassador. 2017 is his 43rd year with the tour. American Golf is joining the European Tour and Sky Sports to launch four free consumer golf shows across the UK this year. The new events will target non-golfers as well as current players, hoping to increase participation and make the game more accessible. These shows will be held at Manchester Event City, the XL Arena in London, the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open in Ayrshire, and the British Masters presented by Sky Sports in Newcastle upon Tyne. And on the PGA Tour, American Dustin Johnson is the world number one for the first time after his victory at the Genesis Open. Johnson carded a par 71 on the final day to finish on 17 under with compatriot Scott Brown and Belgium's Thomas Peters tied second on 12 under. The US Open champion's performance was even more impressive, taking into account that he had to play both his third and fourth rounds on Sunday after storms disrupted the tournament. He dropped only two shots across his four rounds. Incredibly brilliant play by Dustin Johnson, John.
He looks to me to be swinging it better now than he ever has done, but he's just got so much power and he's got a great touch. And that was a great golf course, Riviera.
In terms of Johnson, which major do you think he would be most suited to winning this year?
Masters. Got a Masters. I mean, if you can drive it great, which he is doing, there's very little trouble on Augusta. The greens are its defence, but there aren't a lot, or there isn't a lot of rough on that golf course. But I'd be very surprised if he didn't win at least one Masters in his career.
We know DJ is number one. Let's get the full top 10 in the world.
Norrin is at 10. Sergio Garcia, 9th. Justin Thomas, 8th. Adam Scott, 7th. He's been quiet for a while. Jordan Spieth has had a great start to the season. He's 6th. So has Hideki Matsuyama, 5th. Henrik Stenson, 4th. Rory McIlroy's 3rd. Jason Day is 2nd. And the new world number 1 is Dustin Johnson.
On to the next event on the European Tour now, the Joburg Open. Hayden Porteous is the defending champion. This is an interesting event, John, because it's played over two courses, the West and the East course. Massive field,
yeah.
Over 200 competitors. They split the courses for the first 2 days and then they play the East course on the Saturday and the Sunday, which is the tougher course. But it's a massive field, isn't it?
Well, it is a massive field, but it's a great event and very popular, co-sanctioned. And, of course, it's going to be represented from both, obviously, the European Tour on the Race to Dubai and the Sunshine Tour. So it's always a favourite with the players, you know, to go down to South Africa. Some players won't have played that much early, so to go down and get a nice bit of warm sunshine on your back to start your season off, it's a big week and it's a grueler. If you win that, you know, you've got to beat a lot of players, as you said, a field of over 200 on a couple of Parkland courses.
The East course, over 7,000 metres off championship tees. We've got the 10th and the 11th holes that are reputed to be the two longest back-to-back par fours in the world. It is a stern test, isn't it? And the greens are slightly different. You always favour those local players.
Yeah, but you've got to remember Joburg's at about 5,000 feet, so the ball goes, well, a good 10% further. And if you can hit it up into the air, the ball will carry a long, long way. So, yeah, you've got a couple of big par fours, but these guys nowadays, it isn't a problem to them.
Local players, obviously, you're going to go well, going to be well fancied. There are a smattering of European Tour stars as well. Who's going to be teeing up in Joburg, John?
Well, the likes of Darren Clark, former Open champion, Trevor Immelman, former Masters champion. Then you've got Lee Hautong, who's won on the European Tour. So has Soomin Lee. Rickard Karlberg's won on the European Tour as well. James Morrison has. He's down there. Wu Shun is down there. Gary Stoll, who's a former winner in Abu Dhabi. And then last week's winner, Brett Rumford, he's going down there. Graham Storm, what a story that's been. Paul Peterson, a winner. Anthony Wall, who won the Paul Laurie match play. And then, of course, I mentioned there's going to be a host of players from the Sunshine Tour, plus the Tour School boys will get in. You know, coming out of the Tour School, you've got to take every opportunity, so it's a lot of travelling, but you get a start, you've got to go. When you've got to go, you've got to go.
Do those South African players, those Sunshine Tour players, have any real advantage? I seem to over-egg this every single year because the European Tour pros, they go down there every year. It's not new to the vast majority of them, is it?
Well, no. I mean, most of these players have played around the world and putting on grainy greens, which is the big thing. You've got Bermuda out there, tough grasses that have to be resistant to extreme heat. It doesn't take long for a golf pro to adapt to a golf course. You know, it's called feel and talent, something you've never had, to be honest, Dan. But these guys have got plenty.
Well, who's the most talented of the lot? We need the selections. We need your pick for this week. John, who are you going for?
My pick this week is Jordan Smith. Just missed out in getting into the match play last week. Unfortunate. Had a great start to the season. Had a great start to his career, really, winning the Challenge Tour Order of Merit last year. And then prior to that, the Euro Pro Tour. And he's set off well this year. So I'm going for Jordan Smith. Yourself?
I'm going to go for Dean Burmester this week.
Well done.
Played well out in the golf in Abu Dhabi.
Fully aware of that.
Fourth in the South African Open last time on home fairways.
Hits it miles.
Hits it a long way. Dean is my man this week.
Good luck.
That's your lot for this week. Next week, we'll review the Joburg Open and we'll look ahead to the WGC Mexico Championship. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show. Tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from John Hawksworth...
Come on, Jordan.
And myself, Dan Roebuck, it's goodbye. We'll see you next time.